It is so good to see everybody here this morning. Amen. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. It is so good to see everybody's faces here this morning. It's just a wonderful thing that God wakes us up another day. But not only does He wake us up another day, He wakes us up in our right mind. Amen. For those of us who are in Christ. Now, He woke us up for many years, but we weren't in our right mind. Well, I'm just going to speak for me. You know, I woke up many years, but I wasn't in my right mind. But I'm so thankful that God called me and brought me out of darkness into His marvelous light. And it's been a wonderful life. You know, there's a movie about that, isn't it? A Wonderful Life? Yes. But it's not as wonderful as the one you serve with Jesus. Amen. I feel good this morning. It's good to see the smiling faces here. It's good to see you, my brother and my sister. All of you. Amen. For those of you, we have a visitor, right? You guys are visitors. We want to welcome you here. As you can see, we are called the Whosoever Church, and whosoever you are, you're welcome. Regardless of your past, regardless of even what you're doing now, regardless of where you're from, regardless of even what you look like, we welcome you. We believe that we should share the love of Jesus Christ to all, whether we agree with them or not. Amen? We should share the love of Jesus Christ to all, and that's what we do. And who's that little one there? Praise the Lord. Yes, I love to see the babies. But anyway, we are a praying church. We are a God-fearing church. We don't call God buddy pal, higher power, the man upstairs, none of that. He's God and God Almighty. And we reverence Him. We take Him very, very seriously here. So as we go before the throne of grace, I ask you to take a posture of reverence with us as we go to the throne room of God. Father, we come before you this morning, giving you all the honor, glory, and praise. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up another day. We thank you, Father God, for the roofs that we have over our heads. We thank you for this building that you've given us. We thank you, Father God, for the resources that we can maintain this building, oh, Father God. We thank you for the clothes that we have on our back, the food that we've eaten, oh, Father God, and the resources that you blessed us with. Lord, let us always, first and foremost, give you all the honor, glory, and praise. Lord, we will praise you for your mercy, your grace, your goodness, your kindness, your love, your joy, your peace, your compassion. We will praise you for your correction and your conviction. Lord, we worship you with a heart of worship, a life of worship, worship you in spirit and in truth, O Father God, in everything that we do. Let us bring glory to you. Lord, we lift up our government and our government leaders, O Father God. We ask that you create a clean heart, renew a right spirit within each and every one of them. That you have put godly people in every area of their life, O Father God, and that they will seek wisdom from you and you alone. Lord, we pray for those military today. We honor our military. We thank you for our military, O Father God. We just ask that you put a hedge of protection around each and every one of them and their family members also. Lord, we pray for the homeless today and the hungry. We ask, Father God, that you would provide clean, warm, and safe shelters for those who don't have adequate shelters, O Father. And for those who are hungry, Lord, we just ask that you provide food to nourish and strengthen their bodies. We pray for the children, Lord, especially the unborn. Lord, we will stand in the gap for those, oh, Father God, who are unwanted. Oh, Lord Jesus, we ask, oh, Father God, that you move on the hearts of the mothers and those who are in these facilities, oh, Father God, killing our babies. That they would change their mind and let these babies live, oh, Father God, because we know that each and every child is a gift from God, regardless how it's conceived. And, Lord, we don't condone conception outside of marriage, but, Father, we know that it happens more so than none. So, Lord, we know that each and every conception, oh, Father, you allowed it because you have a purpose for those children. So, Lord, we stand in the gap for the unborn, and we pray for those who are born. We ask, so we commit them unto you and set them, that you will set them apart, that they will serve you all the days of their life. Lord, we pray for those who are traveling today. Lord, we just ask that you have your way here today, Lord, that we have ears to hear what you have to say, that there be no distractions, that we will not walk out of here the way that we walked in, that we will have a greater measure of faith, a greater measure of commitment and love for you, oh, Father God. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Sunday school kids, Sunday school, go that way and behave and have a good time. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. She's not old enough yet, but she will be. Praise the Lord. And just in case if you don't, we have a nursery right outside the thing over here. If you need to, you know, if you need to go in there and change your feet or whatever you need to do, it's right outside the door there. So praise the Lord. But anyway, let's open our Bibles to the book of Joshua. To the book of Joshua. Amen. Joshua 2, if you would. When you get there, say amen. Joshua 2. Do you know what the word Joshua means? Savior. Joshua. Yes. Are you there? Amen. This says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out into Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Let's stop here. Joshua told two of his men to go to Jericho to look and see how we can overcome them. Because the Lord had told Joshua that I have given you this land. So it was already possessed. But he wanted to know, how do we come in and what do we need to do to come in possess the land? If you remember that Moses sent out spies, you know, to go into the land of milk and honey. And Joshua was one of the spies. And it was, I think, 12 spies. 10 of them came back and said, we can't take it. We're like grasshoppers and that. But Joshua and Caleb said, oh, no, 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 no. No, we're well able to take over this land. And so they did. So this is once again, it's Jericho. And we all know the story about Jericho, don't we? Just in case one might not. Jericho is a city on the other side of the Jordan River. You know, and it was a walled city. It had big walls all around. It was fortified all around. It was said to be in that you could not get in there. But God said that I have given you this city. So Joshua said, well, let's see how we're going to take the city. So I want two of y'all to go and check the city out to see how we're to proceed. So when they went in, they went in and they went to Rahab's house. Oh, and you know, Rahab was a lady of the night, the oldest profession in the world. She was a harlot. How did they go to Rahab's house instead of Mary or John or Sue's house? I'm glad you asked me. It was the sovereignty of God. You see, God directed these two spies to this prostitute's house. And I know some of you are saying, like I did when I first read this, why did God send them to a prostitute's house? Why couldn't he have sent it to a Sunday school teacher's house? Why couldn't they have sent it to a butcher's house or a baker or a candlestick maker? Why did it have to go to a prostitute's house? I'm going to let you know that here in a minute. But the sovereignty of God. Do you know God is sovereign? Do you know what sovereignty means? That God is in control of all things. Nothing happens without God allowing it. You understand that? Nothing happens without God allowing it. The good, the bad, and the ugly, and the nasty. God allows everything to happen. A lot of times we don't understand why he does. A lot of times we don't like what he does or allow to happen. It's uncomfortable a lot of times. It's hurtful a lot of times. And we just don't understand. But you know what? Our ways are not like God's ways. We are not God. So anyway, it said that they went to Rahab's house and lodged there. She was a woman of the city, whereas when it says lodged there, she had like an inn also. You know, you would come in, you could rent rooms to do various things. But anyway, they went there and they lodged there, it said. And it says, it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. Somebody went and told the king. Somebody was watching them as they came into the city. They're looking around, and all of a sudden they were led and went into Rahab's house, her inn. So they went back to the king and said, oh, king, we got two spies that have come into the country here, come into the city here, the walled city. And it says, and the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee. I want you to bring, we know that they're there because somebody saw that they were there. So he says, bring forth these men that are coming to thee, which are entering to thy house, for they are come to search out the country, our country. They're not part of our countrymen. They're not part of us. They're from someplace else. And they come to spy on us. So Rahab, bring them here. And it says, and the woman took the two men and took them to the king. And he cut off their heads. Is that what it say? Let me say something to y'all. Make sure what I'm saying is in the Bible. Because some of y'all have no idea. You're looking at me shaking your head like, yeah, they cut the head off. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. Psalms 118, it's better to trust in the Lord, put confidence in man. And that's any man, including me. Always get into the Word of God to make sure what I'm preaching and teaching or anybody else is going along with the Word of God. Because there's many, many today that are preaching and teaching, and they will use half-truths. And if you don't know it, you're amen and shake your head. Amen, praise the Lord. And it's not true. So always get into the Word of God. Amen. I'm just giving you a little heads up on that. Because in this day and time, Jesus said there'll be many false prophets. And there are many. There are many that are preaching and teaching right now as I'm preaching and teaching. And they're preaching and teaching not the truth. And people are believing it. That it's another subject. That is another a sermon for another day. Maybe. But anyway, it says that... And the woman took the men and hid them. Well, what do you mean she hid? Why did she disobey the king? Now, this is the king. She is a harlot now, and he is the king. He got word that there were two spies and went to your house, and I want you to bring them to me. And it says, and she took the men and hid them and said thus, there came the men unto me, but I was not whence they were. So she lied. And you know, God says, you know, we should not lie, right? God said we should not lie. But here this woman, she lied. Well, you say, well, she's a harlot. You know, lying ain't too bad if she was a harlot. But okay. And it says that, and it came to pass there about the time of the shutting of the gate when it was dark that the men went out. Whether the men went, I don't know. I don't know what it. So she's just lying and lying and lying. Nobody in here has ever done that. At other churches, but not in our church. Praise the Lord. So it says that they went out, and I know not where. Then he says, she said, pursue after them. Go after them right now, and you can catch them. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. So she went lie after lie after lie. They're not here. They're gone now. So I want y'all to go catch them. If you leave out of here now, you might be able to catch them. And then it says, but she had brought them up to the roof of her house and hid them in the flax, in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of the Jordan and to the fords. So they believed the lie. They believed what she said. And so they left her house and went after the men which they would never be able to pursue because they were up on the roof. She had hid them. And it says that, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. So the city was closed up. Nobody could get in and nobody could get out. And the men pursued after them the way of the Jordan to the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know. Here we go. Here we go. Now remember who she is. She's an idolatress. She's a liar. She's a prostitute. Okay? She's not a child of God. But she took the people of God and hid them and lied for them. Why does she do that? I'm glad you asked me. You know, because we all make mistakes, don't we? We all make wrong choices, don't we? For whatever reasons, we do that. But it says that, and she said it to the men, I know. See, that one word there, I know. Not I heard. Not maybe, I believe. I know that the Lord has given you the land. I know that the Lord that you serve, I know that the God that you are up under has given you this land that we're in. That I've been here all my life. My mama, my daddy, everybody went to school here, did everything here. I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us. Well, wait a minute. How does she know all of that? Why were they afraid of these men? And that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Everybody in our city is scared of you. See, scared is different than scared. When you're scared, that's worse than being scared. All right? They heard about these men's God. They knew that God had given them this city who she had been in all of her life. And she says, and all the people in the city, we are scared. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the river of the Red Sea for you, and you came out of Egypt. Well, wait a minute. When did that happen? 40 years ago. That happened 40 years ago. And they remembered that. They remembered that the Israelites came out of Egypt after 400 years of bondage. And they came out of Egypt. And God, their God, opened up the Red Sea and delivered the people of Israel. They heard that. They had been telling that for years and years and years and years. But it didn't bother them because the people of Israel was nowhere near around this city. So they having a good time for 40 years, just doing what you do in the city. But all of a sudden now, here come two of them. And she knows if there's two of them, there's more. Do you know that? I could say something, but it gross y'all out, but I ain't gonna say it. You know, when you're living in poverty and you go into your kitchen at night and you turn the light on and you see a couple of them, you know it's not just them two. You know it's more. Some of y'all might not know what I'm talking about. You know, I'll come to me after church and I'll tell you what I'm talking about. All right, amen. Some of y'all do know what I'm talking about. Amen. And you know it. Come on, girl. But anyway, here we go. We have heard that the Lord had dried up the land and the water. And what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. Not just defeated, you utterly destroyed them. And then it says, and as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Have you ever had your heart melt because of fear? Huh? Yeah, some might have, some might not, you know. But it said that their hearts melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in man because of you. Was it because of these men or was it because of their God? It was because of their God. And then it says that, and for the Lord your God, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth and beneath. Right there is the reason why she lied. Right there is the reason that she hid these men. Right here is the reason why she put her life on the line. Because if the king had caught her lying, he'd have cut her head off. So she put her life in jeopardy for these two men that she didn't even know. Hadn't seen them before. Until the day they came and knocked on her door. The day that God brought them to this prostitute's house. And she said, listen to what she said again. And she says, because for the Lord your God, He is, not maybe, He is God in heaven and above and in earth and beneath. Now, once again, they were idolaters. They had many gods. She had grown up to believe all of her life that the gods that she served was the only gods that she knew about. But she had heard 40 years ago what the God of the Israelites did. She was thinking, you know what? This little piece of wood or this stone that I'm in, ain't dried up a creek. Ain't spread nothing. But this God that these people are serving, not only did they bring him out of Egypt after 400 years, they opened up the Red Sea. Not only did they open up the Red Sea, these two kings, they utterly destroyed these kingdoms. And now they're knocking on our door. So guess what? I'm going to lie and lie and lie again. Because I know that their God, listen to what she said again, people. She says, Lord, your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now, therefore, I pray you. Here she go. Therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. She said, I know y'all going to come and I know y'all going to be victorious. Ain't no doubt about that, because the God that you serve that's over heaven and earth, that opened up the Red Sea and killed all of those Egyptians, and then you killed the two kings when you crossed over to Jordan. I know that I know that I know. So let me tell you something, two spies. I done stuck out my neck for you, and I done lied for you. So I'm asking you, when y'all come, because I know you're going to take over the land, because your God has already given it to you. I know that. There's no doubt in my mind about what's going to happen. So I'm asking you, when you come, spare me in my father's house. Please, don't kill us. Don't destroy us. Because of the kindness that I'm showing you, because of what I've done for you, I'm asking you for a blessing. Let's see what they said. And that you will save alive my father, my mother, and my brother, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So not only was she trying to save herself, she said, my family too. Huh? Not only just me, but my family too. Now, they're still idolaters. They're idolaters. They were born idolaters. But she said, but let me tell you something. The God that you serve, I know He's the true God. There's no doubt about that. So I'm asking you, not only would you save me, save my family too. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? Save my family too. I don't know about you, but I got some family that needs saving. Amen? I got some family that needs saving. I got some family that need to come from where they live and what they're doing and come into my house. Because God is going to save me. And if you're here in my house, they're going to save you too. Now, you can believe me if you want to, but they're coming. Let's see if they believed her. Now, here we go. And then it says, and the men answered her, our life for yours. If you utter not this our business, if you don't go tell on us, you done already lied. And it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. When we come, we're going to take over the land because God has already given it to us. And you know that too. But let me tell you something. If you will keep silent and just go tell your mama, your daddy, your sisters and your brothers and those in your family that we're coming and for you to come into the house and you will not die. What does that remind you of? Remember when God told this one man, he says, I want you to go build a boat. Noah, I want you to go build a boat. He said, because rain is coming. And the people laughed at him. They mocked him. They scorned him. Yeah. And all of those, when the rain came, and they laughed because, you know, rain was coming. It never rained before on earth. But when rain was coming, they got to dancing in the rain. And, you know, when you're a kid, you're stomping in the puddles and all of that there. But when the rain got up to the knees, it was like, wait a minute now. And then it got up to the waist and they said, oh, Lord. And we know the story of Noah and the animals and the rains. Church, if God shut the door, only God can open the door. They don't know about you, but like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I'm not the only one. All right. Praise the Lord. Here we go. Here we go. And it says that. And the men answered her, says, your life for ours. And says, when the Lord do give us the land, that we will deal kindly with thee and truly with thee. And she let them down by a cord through the window of her house was upon the town wall that she dwelt upon. So once again, we got a walled city. Got a wall. And people's homes were built inside the wall. You understand what I'm saying? The wall was very thick. You know, it was maybe 20, 30, 40 feet thick. And it was maybe 40, 50 feet high. So people's were built their homes inside the wall. So her house was in the wall. And so what she did was, she said, I agree to everything that you said. I ain't going to say nothing to nobody. And I'm going to let you out of my house now. I'm going to let you down so y'all can go back to your people and to your God and get ready to come and defeat us. So it said that she took a cord. She took a cord and let them down outside the wall of the gate. Because remember, they shut the gate. Nobody could get in, nobody could get out. But she had a window that was looking outside of the gate, outside of the city. So she let him down with that. And then it says, and the man said unto her, we will be blameless for this thy oath which thou hast made to swear. We're going to do what we said that we're going to do. Why? Because you did what you did for us. You shared your life for us. You know, you could have been, and you lied for us. You hid us. And now you're letting us out of this city to go back to our people. So it says, and behold, she would come into the land. Thou shalt bind the line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou do let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother and thy brethren and all the father's household and home unto thee. She let them down with a scarlet cord. Do you know what color scarlet is? It's red. Red. Scarlet is red. So she let them down with this red rope, a red cord. And they said, I'm getting ahead of myself. And it shall be that whosoever go out of the doors of this house unto the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in thy house, thy blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon them. He said, now, if your parents and your family and all those that's in your family, if they come and be in your house, it says they'll be safe. But if they go outside of your house, that's on them. That's not on us. The blood is not on us. You know what I'm saying? If you come in to safety, if you come into your house, because we said that if you come into this house here, that you will be safe from destruction. If you come into this house. But if you come in and then go back out, that's on you. That's on you. So make sure you tell your mama and daddy that when they come in, they need to stay in. Did you hear that, church? When you come in, you need to stay in. Just like in the ark. For those who was in the ark and God shut that door up, the only time they went outside the ark is when God opened that door back up. And all of them were saved. Everyone that went into the ark was saved. But those who were out of the ark were killed. So anyway, it says that... I'm going to flip the page. No, I need to be flipped the page. And anyway, and she said, according to your words, so be it. And that she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line on the window. That's the main thing. They told her, she let them down with the scarlet line, with the rope, the red rope. And they told her, they said, all of your family, if they stay in here to be saved. So then it says, then she, according to your words, so be it. And they sent them away and they departed. She bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came into the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came unto Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us, because we are in the kingdom of God. And if God before you, who can be against you? Huh? And it says, and Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came into the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests that Levites are bringing it, you shall remove from the place and go after it. And then it talks about, you know, what they need to do. You need to stay a half a mile behind the Ark of the Covenant, because God is going before you to fight your battles. You see what I'm saying? God is going before you to fight your battles. And we know the story. So they got there across the Jordan, and they were all standing, and they saw a great walled city. And so they all got the spears and the bow and arrows and clubs and everything, and they went and beat the door down and went in and killed the people. Is that what happened? No, it's not. No, it's not. God told them, don't throw one spear, don't shoot one arrow, don't try to climb the wall, nothing. He says, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to march around this wall every day and then go back and believe me for tomorrow. They went the next day, marched around the wall. Now I want you to go back and believe me. So they did this 6 times. And he said, now on the 7th time, he said, let me show you something now. So they went around on the 7th time and they blew the shofar. The walled city fell. Now remember, houses was in the walls. the walls fail except one part of the wall. Guess what part that was? Rahab, the prostitute, the lying woman, her house did not fall. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Psalms 91. You see, she believed in God. Even though she was raised an idolater, she had become a woman of the night. God said, let me tell you something. I don't care what your past is. Let me tell you something. If you believe in me, that red cord that you let down that window, let me tell you something. Before I brought them out of Egypt, I had them put red blood on the doorpost. For when the angel of death came through Egypt that night, everybody who had the red on the door was saved. You get what I'm saying? Everybody who had the red on the door, and the reason that why they were saved, because they believed what God had said. She believed what the men of God told her to do, and her house, everything fell down except Rahab's house. And so her and her family were saved. But that's not only the good part of it. After they defeated and conquered the city of Jericho, old lady of the night, she married one of the Israelites. Do you know that? She married one of the Israelites. And guess what? She's the great, great grandmother of King David. The lying prostitute. The lying prostitute. Huh? How good is God? How good is God to take somebody like that and use them? And you know why? Because she was obedient. A lot of stuff she didn't understand. But one thing she said, I do know. This is what she said. I do know. I know that your God. I know that your God. He is the God of heaven and earth. He's everything. He's above the gods that I've been brought up with. I know that your God is a true God. And let me tell you something. I want to serve that one. Regardless of what my mama and my daddy had told me, regardless of what they taught me in Sunday school at this other place. But I know that I know that I know that my God lives. I know that I know that I know that the blood of Jesus has washed away my sins. Nothing can wash away my sins but the blood of Jesus, you see. You know, and then once again, you know, what God was saying to them, you got to separate yourself from the city of Jericho and the people of Jericho. You got to separate yourself. Come out from amongst them and touch no unclean thing. They had to separate themselves, you know, from what they had done. But anyway, Noah had to separate himself into the ark, right? Another one, Abraham's nephew, Lot. He was living in luxury. He was living it up. And the angel came and told him and said, let me tell you something. You need to get out of here right now, you and yours, because God is getting ready to destroy this. So he had to be separated. What am I saying to you today? We have to be separated from the world, church. We have to come out from amongst them and touch no unclean thing. The unclean thing is worldly stuff. You hear what I'm saying? Now we're not going to be perfect. None of us. But we have to be obedient to the word of God. We have to believe in God and what he says. And we always hadn't been there, have we? Just like her. Regardless of what you've done in your life, and we've all done stuff. Every one of us. We done stuff. But Jesus said, let me tell you something. If you come up under the blood, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I come again, This is the real good part. I will receive you unto myself, and where I am, you will be also. And we all know what Jesus is doing. We all know what Jesus is doing. And I'm going to tell you, he says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. We need to shout about that. I'm going to tell you something. We need to shout about that. Because we know that we know that we know that our God lives. We know that we know that we know that every promise that God has said, he will fulfill it. How can you not? How can you not surrender your life to Jesus? How can you not?
Hallelujah.
You'll be a fool not to.
Right.
I was a fool most of my life. Most of my life I was a fool because I was foolish not surrendering my life to Jesus, you see. And so were all of you until you submitted and surrendered. But thank God that he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Thank God that he has mercy and his grace is upon us. Thank God that he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son. That whosoever, who's the whosoever? Get you a mirror and look in the mirror. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. I don't know about you, but I need that everlasting life. Because I'm about sick of the one in here. I'm going to tell you. I've been living this life for 71 years and I'm about ready. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. But I gotta say, wait a minute, Lizzie, because we got some people in our family that we need to be saved. That's why we got people in your family that need to be saved. Amen. We all of us and everybody in here got people in the same family that need to be saved. So hold up a little bit, Lord. Tarry a little bit longer. Maranatha. Brother Larry said, come now. Come quickly. But I want to see all of our family members saved. Amen. Just like her family members say, her mama, her daddy, her sisters, her brothers, and all of those in her household. That's what I want for my family. I know you want that for your family too. But you know what? The best thing that you can do for your family is let them see the Christ in you. Not hear about it. You know, because sometimes, you know, we get a little bit much. But if they see the Christ in you, if they see that you're doing the right thing, regardless of what's going on, once they see the Christ in you, that's when they'll say, maybe it might be something to that church. Maybe it might be something to that, you know, to that being born again thing. I don't know all about it, but I know my relative. I know how they used to be, and they're totally different now. Totally different now. So maybe, let me go see what this is all about. You see? And when they come and they hear a word or something, or just have the Holy Spirit come upon them, and then the next thing you know, they're raising their hand. They're raising their hand. I'm surrendering, Lord. Lord, I know just like this lying prostitute that you are the God of heaven and the God of earth. And she said, amen. That's right, honey. Out of the mouth of babes. What's her name? Kiana? Tiana? Tia? Siana? Siana? I'll get it right. Siana. Have y'all dedicated the baby yet? You haven't dedicated. Do you want to dedicate the baby? Dedicate her unto the Lord? Huh? Oh, you done it. Okay. Well, so I asked you if you did it, you know, if she, you know, because we love dedicating babies. Huh? Well, you want to do it right now? Bring Sienna on up here. Come on up here with Sienna. Praise the Lord. No time better than now. Dedicate these babies. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm sorry, Denise. Denise, she's the one who makes the baby dedications out and stuff, so I always try to give her a heads up. But anyway, what we do here, can I hold her? She said, no, no, no. She said, you didn't even know how to say my name. And she got two teeth. Okay. All right. What we do is we take this out of Samuel because Hannah, she wanted a baby, but she didn't have a baby. And she prayed to the Lord, if you give me a baby, I'll give him back to you. And that's what she did with Samuel, her son. So what we're saying is she's a gift from God. And so today what we're doing is dedicating her back unto the Lord. We're giving her back to the Lord for God to put his spirit within her and train her up and use her for the purposes in which he created her, because he created her for a purpose. So, Father, we come before you here tonight, today. We lift up Sienna. We ask, oh, Father God, we give her back to you. We ask, oh, Father God, all the days of her life, Lord, you'll protect her, that you'll bless her, that you'll give favor upon her. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I got some forehead sugar. All right. All right. What we need you to do, go back there and give her your full name and everything, and we'll give you a certificate. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all's first time here and got your baby dedicated. How good is God? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I've had a good time. I don't know about y'all. Remember about that scarlet line. You know what I mean? Make sure you're under the blood of Jesus. If there's anybody here that's not under the blood of Jesus, if there's anybody here that's not under the covenant of God, let me tell you something. Days are short. And as brothers say, Maranatha, which means come quickly, Lord. And if he was to come quickly, if he would come in the next 5 minutes, are you ready to stand before him? That's what you need to ask yourself. If he comes in the next 5 minutes, am I ready to stand before him and hear what he has to say about my life? Once again, I don't care what you've done in the past. You could be a Rahab or anything else. But if you come under the blood of Jesus, let me tell you something. All of that be washed away. And that you will know that you know that you know that when he comes, I'm ready to meet him. I'm ready to meet him. So if you're here this morning and you have any doubts, you say, well, maybe, I think so, I don't know. If that's you this morning, you can come here and know for sure. You can come and know for sure to surrender your life unto Jesus. And say, Lord, I don't know what all of this is about, but it's something in me, something that's in me now that's saying I need to come forth. There's something within me now saying I need to come and surrender my life. So if you're sitting here and your seat is getting a little warm, your heart's beating a little fast, and you're saying, well, I'm going to do it. Just take a deep breath and get up and come on down. And God will bless you. Take a deep breath and come on down. And God will bless you. There's nothing you can do that God will turn you away. Nothing. You can be a murderer. You can be a prostitute. You can be a thief, a liar. Whatever it might be, God would never turn you away. God would never turn you away. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Is anyone else? Is anybody else here? Don't be ashamed, because Jesus was not ashamed of you. Jesus was not ashamed of you when he went to the cross. He bore it all for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anyone else? All right. Come on. Don't just sit. Don't be patting each other. Tomorrow. No. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Let me say something to you. If you get caught out there and you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, you will be hearing what I'm saying for eternity in torment. You know what I'm saying? You'll be saying, I remember hearing what that tall pastor said, and you'll be hearing it for eternity. Because, see, there's no do-overs. There's no do-overs. He says, come while still daytime, while the door is still open. While the door is still open. The door is open. It's wide open today. And if you're out there and you know that your life has not been surrendered, I'm going to ask you to do this here. Pray this prayer with us, wherever you are in your seat. God will honor that if you're sincere, if you're real with it. Amen? Amen. Because this is not a ritual that we do. Yes, I love to give altar calls. And yes, God wants you to come publicly to declare, you know what I mean, and to accept him as Lord and Savior. Absolutely, he does. But, you know, he will not turn you away if you sit in your seat and you open up your heart to him. Trust me. It will happen. And then after service, come and say, Pastor, I was the one sitting in the seat that couldn't get up. Tell somebody. Amen. For all of you that's here today, you know, I know some of you have already given your life to Christ, and what some of you are probably doing is rededicating your life, which is a wonderful thing. So I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. Repeat this after me. Okay? Heavenly Father, I come before you today. I'm confessing that I am a sinner. But I'm asking you, Lord, to forgive me of all my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross and he shed his blood for my sins. He rose again on that third day, and he's sitting in heaven next to our Heavenly Father. This day, I accept the precious gift of God, of salvation, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I will serve you for eternity. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm saying to all of you here, if you prayed that prayer, you know what I mean? And like I say, you know, rededication. You know, because sometimes we got to rededicate. Amen? Amen. Especially if you drifted a little bit or a whole lot. But if you prayed that prayer, God will hear that prayer. Does anybody need a Bible? Everybody got Bibles? Because if you need a Bible, we'll give you a Bible. But God bless you. God bless you all. Thank you so very much. Remember the day that you dedicated or rededicated your life to Jesus. The year of our Lord, 2020, through the 23rd day of April. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Go write it down somewhere. God bless you. God bless you. All right, everybody. If you need prayer for anything, the altar will be open for you. And if you want a prayer, you know, the altar will be open. Want to say thank you. And one other thing that I want to share with all of you. Liza, just a second. One other thing, you know, I'm not going to be here next Sunday. I got some things I need to go deal with. Amen. But I'll be back the Sunday after that. But I need to go take care of some stuff that's going on. But anyway, I just want to say I won't be here next Sunday. But the word is going to be brought forth this next Sunday. Don't ask me who's going to be here, because I ain't going to tell you. Because I know some of y'all. You know what I mean? Oh, pastor ain't there. I'm gonna go to another church, Bedside Baptist. Yeah. Come. You know, because the word is going to be brought forth. Amen. Father.